Today's reading is from Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 20. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. So in this section, Jesus is foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, including the temple, which from yesterday's reading, we know that he told them when they began to show him the temple and the adornment there, that not one stone would be left on top of another, signifying that there would be utter destruction of the city and of the temple. As we read here, this was part of a fulfilling of what has been prophesied. And so this is not just telling that these are things that would happen, but these are things that God directs to happen for a purpose. It was a judgment upon Jerusalem, and it was the wiping out of the Jewish nation as God's favored people and the people the people that he would communicate directly with. Since the establishment of the church came about before that point, there was no need for a nation of people anymore, for now there was a spiritual nation of people, a spiritual Jerusalem, and that was the body of Christ and the church. It's interesting to note that when the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple occurred, that it not only signified the end of Judaism as God had determined, but also they lost much of their genealogies and lineage so that they would be unable to tell in future generations what tribe they would come from. And part of that is because there would no longer be a need for knowing which tribe you were from in order to continue a lineage of priests. So he's telling them, when you see armies start to come about around Jerusalem, you need to make sure you're not in that city at that point. And if you look at history, for example, through the writings of Josephus, you see that that's exactly what happened. There was some rebellions by the Jewish people, and there was some initial success with those rebellions, primarily because the Romans didn't have much of an armed forces in the area, and so they became emboldened by those victories. But then Rome sends a very large force and sieges Jerusalem, and then eventually destroys it. So this prophecy does come true, and this warning of when you see the armies coming, you need to get out, that very much so was a warning that they could recognize and then heed the word of the Lord. But again, the only ones that would heed those words would be those that are Christians and those that believed. He also tells them there in verse 32, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. So he was not talking about the end of the world or judgment day. He was talking about a day that Jerusalem itself would be destroyed, and that happened in 70 AD. He does make the comment in verse 33 then, right after this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So there's pass away used in three ways within this passage. You had the generation that would not pass away or cease to live before this was accomplished. That's verse one. That was the first instance. The second instance was heaven and earth will pass away or come to an end. That is, when God's purposes are fulfilled and he's done with this physical world, they would pass away. And then the third one is the words of Jesus will not pass away, meaning that they will never be proven untrue. They will never be swept away. John describes Jesus in John chapter 1, the first few verses, as being the Word and even the creator of heaven and earth. So put that together and you realize that it's stating that the Word will continue even when his creation does not. Also, with that second instance, talking about heaven and earth pass away, talking about this creation, we need to remember that this physical realm, this physical existence, heaven and earth, are not eternal. They are something that was created and created for a purpose. And when God's done with that purpose, then he will cease to uphold these things and they will be done away with. I was thinking about the fact that the Word will never pass away. And you can look at that as the Son of God and being the Word. And you can also think of it in terms of God's Word. But this idea of words, we're bombarded by all sorts of things that are communicated to us today. We've got social media, we've got newspapers, if you still read them, you've got news websites, you've got television news, you've got radio news. There's all these things that are being communicated to us. And you might listen to one news program and them tell you something about an event and then go to another news program and they tell you something completely different about that event. Many times that's because opinion is being shared, but it's also because people tend to skew things and talk about them in terms of, well, even an agenda that they might have. And we become jaded by these things and we realize that, you know, the words that are being communicated to us are not necessarily trustworthy. But the word of God and the word that was God are absolutely trustworthy. They will not pass away. They are part of the divine Godhead, and the word is what has saved us when it came into this world as Jesus the Christ. That's very important for us to realize that while these things around us are not eternal and they're not trustworthy and they are fading and there's many evil things within it, Jesus is forever. Salvation in his name is forever. It is eternal. And the word that he brought, the word that was sent from the Father, in which Jesus delivered to us, that word was not a collection of suggestions and was not a collection of opinions. That word is the word of God himself, who is infallible and who is incapable of lying and who is completely trustworthy, keeping all promises that he makes. Now, that doesn't mean that man doesn't break some of the conditions of those promises, but God does keep his promises. In the first century, there were many teachings in Judaism that had been handed down that were not from God anymore. They were written by teachers and rabbis. And these revered elders among their people slowly added to and even changed the Word of God over time. So that, as we've been looking at the Beatitudes with Jesus on Sunday mornings, He was correcting some of their spiritual attitudes and even their interpretations of some of the things that God had handed down. It's very important that we look and investigate that we're following the absolute Word of God and not just the words of man. We always need to investigate and study things for ourselves because we will give an answer for them ourselves. I think we need to pray that we value the Word and that we have a passion for understanding the Word that God has given to us and to follow those words because those words are eternal and they lead to eternal life. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.